International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The Big One, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Digicom Cafe and another episode of Radio on the Rocks for Thursday, April 8th, 2021. Good morning, Professor Jim.
Good morning.
My goodness. You must be having your Rice Krispies or something. What is it? Tony was like, they're great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got a Windows computer yesterday and got it all updated. And I took a look at that Ham Radio Deluxe. And I think there's... I think you've probably convinced me to get that.
Well,
for a number of reasons, they have employees, which means it's being continuously developed.
Yeah.
The one thing I have, a question I have, several years ago, they were talking about implementing something in their program that would display the waterfall or the spectrum display of the 7300. And they, in their website, they don't advertise that as a feature. So I wonder if they ever did that. I have other questions. on the computer control of the radio. Now this relates to. Yeah. Well, it does relate to computer control of the radio. It also relates to the gizmo that you and I think John have on in your shack, the little gizmo that does the digital modes that has its own sound.
Signalink.
Yes, that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I went on that website last night, and Signalink does the visual digital modes, but does not control the computer, and apparently you need something else. And in the discussion of that, it implied that a cable from RT Systems would enable computer yes. control with Signalink. And so I'm wondering about all
well,
that.
The Signalink doesn't do any controlling, but the that cable plugs from the computer into your radio, and that's what allows you to control the frequencies and stuff with the PC.
So how does the Signalink, and where does it connect? Does it use the same USB connection or what?
In other words, no, just another port. What are you doing? Did you see Andre there? He sent a little video. Andre is in the chat side. He's wanting to run a little test here today.
Okay.
Make sure our lighting is good and all that side. He says, give me a sign when you're done with the podcast so we can do a test. So, okay, Andre, we'll do. We'll give you a holler in an hour. Unless you want to check in, indicate here if you want to check in and talk again. You are quite
an asshole. Going to be a mind-blowing discussion.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, we've got lots to talk about this morning. I still failed at getting DudeStar to install on my Mac. And so what I ended up doing was updating the whole system last night. And that was a successful test. I didn't know if I could do it with this new internet system we've got with the cellular thing with Visible. It was a 12-gigabyte file to upgrade to Big Sur.
Oh, my.
And I put it in the bedroom next to the Mophie router, making sure I got top speeds. It told me 6 hours, fluctuated between that, between 6, 7, and 8 hours. And I left it there while we were watching TV and stuff, and I went to bed, woke up at 4:30 this morning. Oh, no, I left my laptop there without it being plugged in. I wonder if it's dead. I went in there, and it was only half drained. I'd dimmed the screen, you know, tried to maximize the power. And lo and behold, it was all downloaded. So I installed it this morning, and I thought, well, maybe that'll make a difference. And I tried the QMake in the DudeStar folder and got the same error. So I don't know what's going on.
So you have Xcode installed, correct?
I believe so. Well, actually, that's why that's right. That's why I had to update, because Xcode wouldn't run on the Mojave.
And you have the command line tools for
Xcode. I have those tools. In fact, you don't really need all of Xcode. All you need is command line tools, from what I read. Is that true?
Well, the short answer is I don't know for sure, but Xcode is the C compiler, right? And so I'm guessing the code is DudeStar code is probably actually compiled by Xcode, and you're just calling. Right. Q mode probably calls Xcode. I don't know. That's something I'm just brainstorming. I have no idea whether this is just trash or not.
You're probably right. I probably need to download Xcode now, which is a large file.
Why in the process would you need to? Because in one of the things I sent you, it definitely says you need to install the command line for Xcode. And why would they do that if it wasn't using Xcode as the compiler?
I don't know. Xcode is big. There's a lot of parts, I guess, you don't really need to accomplish this, from what I read. Maybe Andre knows something about that. Andre, are you a Mac guy?
Not quite, but... What can I say is Xcode has a lot of stuff in it. I mean, it's a development environment, so it has lots of build tools that you need in order to build C and C++ stuff on Mac.
Right, yeah. And I think these other tools are simply calling the compiler in Xcode.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
So I'm trying to get DudeStar running on my Mac, but you have to compile it. And I get some kind of an error every time I do it. And I've downloaded Qt, Qt5, Homebrew, all these kind of things. I thought I had the environment all set up, but it still gives me an error. So I think I'll probably have to just download Xcode next and give that a try.
Wait. So you installed Qt5, right?
I did. And I guess that is the graphic interface. And that explains why DudeStar looks the same across all platforms. It's not like, you know how Zello is? Zello looks different on every device. It's like, okay, now if you're on the Android, this button is over here, blah, blah, blah. But the DudeStar looks exactly the same across all platforms. And it also expands nicely. Like if I go full screen on the PC, everything just kind of expands beautifully, doesn't change.
It's okay. Really good.
Nice interface.
And in order to compile it, what command did you run exactly?
QMake.
Wait a second.
I'll tell you the error I get here.
Wait, I thought it was QMake, and then a second command was make.
Yeah, but
that's right. I can't get past QMake, though.
Is the path... The path to where QMake installed, which apparently is in different places depending on
what version of with sudo.
If the path to QMake is not in your Unix path, it won't find it and it won't compile it.
It would definitely work if you installed it with brew.
Here's the error I get. It says project error, unknown modules in QT, serial port multimedia.
Ouch.
So I did a search for that. I did find something that had another module I could install using brew.
Did that error stop you, or did you go ahead and do the other commands as well?
Oh, that pretty much stopped me.
Well, I would have just gone on.
You can't go on.
So I went on here. I just typed in make, and it says XC run error, invalid active developer path. Missing XC run at library developer command line tools user bin XC run.
Yeah.
And I can't find, if I do a search in this system, I cannot find QT5 anywhere. Or QT, it doesn't show up, so I don't even know where it's at.
It's somewhere where brew installs most of its stuff.
Yeah, right.
But
you've got to find brew, yeah. And it's probably in a subdirectory.
Well, I did a where is command, and QT, it doesn't show up. Nothing shows up.
When you installed QMake using brew?
I believe so.
Try to install QMake. Let me see if brew has it. There has to be a QT5 version.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did that too.
Because you're missing something, so...
Exactly.
I'm missing a brain. I'm like the straw man in Wizard of Oz.
Oh, just a couple of marbles, maybe.
So welcome to all our guests and listeners today. We're just sitting around the cafe here with our laptops and being geeky and trying to be on the cutting edge of all the new software and amateur radio. And I know Jim has got his PC running, so now he's looking for stuff. If you guys have any recommendations of must-haves for the amateur radio experience on a PC, send Jim a message. Give him your advice.
There's one. Install Zillow.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I did get another DMR talk group set up on the TGIF Prime network yesterday, and I got the same node number as I have for my All-Star, 27622. And I haven't been on the Prime network for a while. They've made some major updates, and it is looking beautiful. Their website, prime.tjif.network, has a new self-care page with all kinds of options, user security, change your email address, change password, edit your profile. And then when you're looking at the last herd, I noticed that next to my call sign, there was this icon. Let's see, what did they call it? ACL. I'm going to key it up here. Yeah, it says ACL. And when I push that button, up comes this little overlay window, has my call sign, DMR ID, and then it's got four colored buttons, ban, boot, mute, and custom. And I thought, oh, no, is there something wrong with my audio? Are they going to ban me? Well, it just so happens that the admins of a talk group now have total control over their talk group. They can ban, boot, and mute troublemakers that come on the scenes. So you have a lot more control on this system than Brandmeister. And the interface is gorgeous.
I have a question. Do you frequently have laryngitis?
Well, yesterday I was coughing a lot. I think I told you the day before I inhaled something. I think it was a chip of matzah, and it just got lodged in my lungs, and I was coughing and coughing. Yesterday I was coughing. In fact, it was funny. I was on Zello on my RT4, and apparently I had Vox on it. And so my radio was sitting there beside my recliner as I was watching TV and stuff, and all of a sudden I have this coffee fit, And Chris up in Minneapolis says, "Are you okay, Denny?" He heard me because it keyed the box.
So do you know why I asked that question?
Am I sounding hoarse?
No, not really. But after knowing you for a few weeks, seems like a year, I'm convinced that when you get out of bed in the morning, you start talking on something somewhere, and you don't stop talking until you go to sleep.
No, actually, I listen a lot. I listen a lot. But I used to have this DMR talk group on Brandmeister, and I shut that down a year ago. My internet issues have caused me to get very discouraged in digital ham radio, so I have shut down a lot of things and about given up.
Bob Havenstreit has joined us.
Mr. Bob, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I had to get my button pushed there. Good to join you all again today. Looking forward to another good day here and get something.
Okay, maybe. Maybe we'll learn something new about cats.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
my hike. I bicycle and I hike on 2 days a month. One day is bicycling, one day is hiking, with a group of my friends who are retired scouters. And we canceled our morning hike this morning because it's raining, and normally if it was a light rain, that wouldn't stop us, but this is probably going to be pretty heavy this morning.
You're probably getting what we had yesterday. We had tornado watch for half of the day. They cut it short. Oh, that's another thing I did yesterday. I installed AutoSky, which is a weather feature on your All-Star node, and you can have it set to go out and check the status of the weather like every minute or 4 minutes or whatever, and it will speak a warning that comes across. So it's coming out my Simplex node now. And of course, when the warnings end, it's kind of neat. It's like a ship's whistle. All of a sudden that warning goes off and they say this warning has been canceled. So you might want to do that on your All-Star node. If you do a search on that hamvoip.com website for AutoSky, that has a document you can download, a little PDF file. It explains step-by-step how to install it and set it up. Pretty handy.
I will look into that eventually.
I'd say that's a must-have.
Well, but I have radar apps on my iPhone. I can just call up a radar app and see exactly what's happening.
Well, in my situation, like yesterday, my wife came in and said, "I think we need to go for a walk." So we're up on the hill. We walk usually just down to the bottom of our main hill here by our neighbor's house, turn around, come back. But I felt energetic. I said, "Let's go down the steep hill." So we went down the steep hill, which normally when you come back up, I mean, it's like a 25-degree incline. Your legs get to burn, and I have to stop a few times. But anyway, we got down to that hill, and I said, "Let's walk down to the first creek going across the road." So we walked down there, and the water was running pretty low. So I said, "Well, heck, we can tiptoe across this. Let's go to the kids and pick up grandson." Well, this is a mile hike from our house to their house and back. So that was a 2-mile hike we went on yesterday. And I felt great. Came up the hill with no problem. But down in the valley, there's no cell coverage. We're down in the depths of the hills all around us. But I brought my radio along and was connecting to my Simplex setup here on All-Star. So I could dial up whoever I wanted. I was listening to the UK Hubnet. And I had that weather thing was running. So if anything was to happen weather-wise, I could hear the warning, but I wouldn't be able to get it on my phone.
So is Mary Joyce, your wife, is she able to have a face-to-face conversation with you, or does she need a radio as well?
Well, we live on the same floor, unlike you and your wife. Yeah, she's just a stone's throw away here. She's in the living room in her recliner, doing her surfing, doing her reading. You know, we both kind of lazy around for a while in the morning till we have to take care of the animals and whatnot.
I do have some reading to suggest this morning.
And what would that be? Xcode?
I'll wait until it's appropriate. I don't want to interrupt the flow yeah. of weather.
Yeah.
Because we can't really control the weather, can we? No. We can just react to it, however we want to react to it.
Although some would say someone is controlling the weather.
Well, yes, you would say that.
I wouldn't say that. So what kind of books do you like to read?
I like to read, mysteries. I like to read biographies. So the books I read are both of, I also listen to audible books when I'm on my bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my interests include both fiction and nonfiction.
Bob, do you like to read?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really that much of a reader. I'm more of a listener, I think. I listen to a lot of things on the radio, YouTube, and, you know, I don't know. I just never been a real big reader. I probably need to read more. My brother's a big reader. But I could never get into reading that much. I don't know why exactly.
Yeah, I don't read much other than technical stuff usually. I bet Andre must read a lot of technical stuff because he knows so much. No comment.
No comment, yeah.
What do you like to read?
Well, normally I wake up, I open two or three tabs that I know I like what I see in them. So there's Fironics.com, which is a really big project that talks about anything related to Linux, CPUs, processors, and so on. Then there's Reddit, in which I have my groups that I look at, and that's it.
I had a feeling that was the way it was.
We have a store in our area. Well, they have multiple stores across the country. It's called Half Price Books. Have you encountered that?
Yep.
So, as an academic, I never throw away a book because I may need that for a citation 30 years later. But my basement was overflowing with books, and I had to get rid of some. So the problem I had, I would take plastic bins full of books to Half Price Books. And in fact, you don't get anything for them. You know, you get maybe 50 cents or 75 cents or a dollar for a book. And pretty soon I had, a couple hundred dollars from Half Price Books in revenue. The problem is, while I was waiting for them to evaluate the value of the books I was turning in, I would be roaming through the store buying new books. So I still have a mountain of books in my basement.
And I can imagine they're all neatly stacked on shelves, right?
The shelf space I have is not wide enough to contain the books. So the books are stacked in vertical stacks in other words, there's piles of books so that every square inch of the space is used. And in fact,
no room for a cat then, huh?
The bookcase is got so many books on it, it's leaning.
Oh, wow. Wow. Our bookshelves are all full. We don't take any more books. We go to the library now. Oh, we had an interesting change up in our internet overnight. I don't know what happened. This new system with the Verizon tower has been pretty balanced on the upload download side. It's always around 5 down and 5 up. That's because the plan allows you to tether a device to your phone, but it throttles it back to a maximum of 5. But this MOFI's not supposed to do that, but it was still doing it. It was never screaming fast, but it's like the teeter-totter tipped one way today. So now this morning my download was over 10 and my upload was under 3. So I'm happy with the download speed. This is great. I hope it's not going to affect our video with the slower upload though. And we're going to test that today, right, Andre?
We are going to do it. But yeah, you should also get the Android app and look at the signal strength. As I told you, if there's more, the more people are on LTE cell, the more you share. So maybe there was less people last night.
Or even now, this morning.
You have to get a bigger antenna.
An outside Yagi or something pointing right at it, right?
Yeah, it could be an Yagi. If you already have one, you can just tie it into the router that you already have. I know you have some weirdo router.
Yeah, but you have to have two antennas with this. One for transmit, one for receive, I guess.
Yeah, I think you can do some kind of loop. I mean, the Yagi has a loop, but probably...
Well, they show these little... they have like a little white thing in the front, and you angle them 45 degrees apart from each other, pointing at the tower, and then the cables come in, the shorter the better. They connect one to the receive, one to the transmit side of this router.
So I looked for 4G Yagi, and it has one connector.
Really?
Yeah. Let me see. There's another one. This one might be with two connectors. There's the one that's not in a plastic thing, and probably there's the one that's in a plastic thing. And no, it's specifications. If I remember correctly, there's only one connection.
Huh. Well, the things I've read on this one, you need two.
Oh, so it has one for receive and one for transmit.
Yep. There's four antennas on this little box. Two of them are for the Wi-Fi for in the house, and two of them are for the mobile. And the mobile has a send and receive. So I'm going to look into that. I mean, I'm okay with the speeds we've got now. It's working pretty good. By the way, and I know, Jim, you laugh at me at these speeds, but you won't laugh at the price. I just helped another friend with their account, got it set up and their phone installed, and I just got notified yesterday. My next month's bill for unlimited everything is $5.
Yeah, I realize now. You need two antennas because it does MIMO LTE. So you need to buy two Yagi antennas.
Yep.
It does MIMO. I wasn't getting why it wants two antennas. Yeah, you need two antennas. But they're cheap. I mean, you can get them on Amazon for like $20 or something.
Yep. Hey, there's Jim's beans. Are you grinding those beans this morning? It looks like that must be your popcorn grinder ahead of you or what?
No, that's the grinder is in the background. So, and the roaster is just to the right of the grinder. You can only see part of it.
Okay. And what kind of beans are those?
Those are Colombian beans, but I also use Nicaraguan beans. I go back and forth. I've actually been to coffee plantations in Nicaragua. It's a fascinating process.
And isn't there some kind of a program that people participate in to help poor countries? What do they call that?
Yeah, I forget what they call it, but buying things that that help countries that, well, coffee beans are their survival of some of these countries. I mean, really, it's main industry.
Huh. But see, Andre, regarding our video cafe cast thing, would you be able to have maybe a panel for our chat channel here so people could see what we're seeing when we share pictures and share links? Is that possible?
I think I can do something with connecting the Telegram to Twitch or the other way around. There should be some way of connecting it. If not, I could just select the window and add it to the video.
That'd be kind of handy because all of our listeners, they don't know what we're seeing, what we're looking at. And it's a nice touch to be able to have this chat with picture sharing and whatnot.
Is that really a disadvantage that they don't know what we're talking about?
Why would they listen? It's kind of like what Timothy said the other day. If I'm talking, is anybody hearing me? I like that story about your shirt your kids got you. That was excellent.
Oh, yeah. They like
I don't think Andre know about that.
They like to kid me.
Yeah, I was aware, and I was, I think, in the cafe when he was telling us about it. I think.
So, Andre, your Aperture Laboratories, why have you got that sitting on a cookie?
No, it's not a cookie. And
it's cork.
Yeah, it's cork.
It looked like a cookie to me.
You have to guess what game is it from, because it's from a game.
Oh. It looks like it's a photo program. I see the iris of the lens thing.
You'd say that, but it's not.
Oh.
If you Google Aperture Science, it will probably show the game.
I bet Jim thought the same thing when you saw that, didn't you?
Well, I'm just about to upload another picture, if you'll just wait another minute.
Okay. No, you're out of time. Sorry.
I'm doing a screen capture now. So.
And after that, Jim's got a very interesting what-if question, it sounds like.
Well, at least to me.
Yeah, well, it almost sounded like you were thinking Andre would be well-suited for this one again.
Indeed. I expect Andre to be very excited about this
one. why am I afraid?
There you go. New picture uploaded.
Hey, look at that.
Okay.
Is that on a piece of metal? Is that a card? What is that?
Yeah.
That's a sticker that I have stuck on one of my external hard drives.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I sell prints, I put that sticker on the back of the prints.
I like having that background blurred like that. You got your hand with the beans and the cup and...
and Andre's coffee cup out of focus.
You know, Andre, you give us a whole different feeling for a podcast, and I think people will refer to you when they try and tell other people about it. You ought to listen to this cafe cast with that Romanian guy in the back that talks the Romanian accent. It adds a nice touch.
I was telling my wife the other day that the people that regularly tune into this live have completely different accents, and of course I don't think of myself having an accent at all, but of course I do. And so and of course Denny has that Minnesotan clear enunciation. In the U.S. A lot of network television reporters actually come from the Minnesota area, because
my wife says Iowa.
the way Minnesotans talk can be understood by anybody, whereas, you know, sometimes people from the deep south or the Boston area or whatever, you really have to tune into them to figure out what they're saying. because of the accents are so completely different. But Minnesota accents are clearly understood by anyone, so they usually do well on network television. I didn't know if you were aware of that, Denny.
Oh, yes. My wife tells me that all the time. She's from Iowa, and she says all the national news people speak like they do in Iowa. And speaking of variety, which we get in ham radio, how about a little French from Daniel Giraud from South Africa?
Bonjour.
From Daniel, it's greetings and salutations. Hope everybody's well.
Daniel's in the bathroom. Oh, lots of echo. You sound like you're in the can. Plus, you're breaking up. I don't think your internet connection's really good right now.
I'm just out of range of the router, so I might not be getting in too well.
Nope, you're not getting in very well at all. We can't really understand a lot of what you're saying. But anyway, welcome. Good morning to you, too. Well, Jim, what is the what-if question of the day?
Well, it's complicated. Perhaps the most complicated what-if to date. Suppose you had a quantum coin that the referees were going to flip at the beginning of a football game to decide who would get the kickoff, who would kick off, who would receive the kickoff. A quantum coin in digital terms would be both one and zero at the same time and everything in between. So if you flipped a quantum coin, how would you know who won? Well, what caught my eye this morning was an article in the Washington Post. And the lead paragraph had me. The lead paragraph says, 40 years after the renowned physicist Richard Feynman floated the idea for a quantum computer, the technology is starting to seep out of academic labs and into the real world. And this is fascinating. I mean, we've read little pieces about this for the last few years. Quantum technology, I go on to read a second paragraph, seeks to harness the peculiar laws of quantum mechanics to build more powerful tools for processing information. Quantum computers are the most headline-grabbing form of technology, but quantum particles are also being deployed to build more secure communication networks and more powerful sensors for imaging and measurement. And IBM, among others, actually has quantum computers that are working. Some of them are web-based, and apparently people can use these in its infancy. And this has been described, this technology has been described as exciting as the invention of the transistor was when we were all using vacuum tubes. So Feynman, to give you a little bit of background on Feynman, and I'm going to, he has an elaborate Wikipedia page. So I'll paste that into the comments here. And I encourage you to read it at some point. I've read most of his books. He's a Nobel laureate in physics, and his books are quite accessible. He is the one that actually discovered the cause of the space shuttle. What was it? Space Shuttle Columbia that exploded on takeoff. Is that the right space shuttle? I can't remember. It had the teacher aboard and some astronauts. And he actually was on a committee to figure out what caused that explosion. And the committee was ready to file their report, but he didn't like their conclusion. So he said he wouldn't sign the report unless they published his comments as an appendix, which they did. And at some press conference, there was a model of the space shuttle on the table, and it had O-rings. And he asked if the O-rings in the model were made out of the same material as the O-rings in the actual space shuttle. Remember, there was a leak of liquid oxygen or something that caused the explosion. And so he got a pair of pliers and took the model apart and put that O-ring from the model in a glass of ice water on the table. And then he used the pliers, or maybe just his fingernail. I can't remember the details. But anyway, he compressed it, and it remained compressed. And that was indeed the source of the leak. Something had pinched an O-ring. And of course, liquid oxygen is very cold, and it remained, that O-ring remained compressed, pinched, and therefore did not seal properly. So, among other things, he's written this book, "Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. What Do You Care About What Other People Think?" I've read those books. They're fascinating. He worked at the Los Alamos lab. He worked on the Manhattan Project, which resulted in the atomic bomb. And he and his wife developed a code. He was at Los Alamos, she was elsewhere. And the letters that would come into Los Alamos to the people who worked there were opened and read for security reasons. Well, that irritated him. So he and his wife developed their own personal code, and they wrote each other in code. And so when his wife's letters were opened for security reasons, the people that opened them had no idea what the content of the letters were. And that was just sort of the rebel nature of him. He was absolutely brilliant. And in one of his books, there's a chapter which is actually my favorite chapter, Safecracker Meets Safecracker. So at Los Alamos, they had these old wooden filing cabinets. My dad had one. And there was a brass rod that went from front to back. And the back platen that would hold the filing folders together moved back and forth along this rod. And it had a thumb screw. You could tighten it down. Well, the rod, on either side of the rod, there was a crack in the bottom of the filing cabinet drawer. So, of course, they were working in teams, and people would take vacations all the time. And he would want a file from a colleague, and that colleague would be on vacation. So he worked out a process where he would go into the colleague's office and tip over the filing cabinet. And you could actually put your hand in the crack where that rod went back and forth in the bottom of the filing cabinet drawer. And then you could grab a filing folder, turn it sideways, and pull it out the crack. And so sometimes he would review notes in that way. Well, the problem was those filing cabinets all had locks on them, and they were combination locks. So sometimes he could only do that with the bottom drawer in the filing cabinet. He wanted access to all of his colleagues' files in all of their filing cabinet drawers. So he realized that when most people operate a combination lock, once they reach the third number, they don't spin the lock. So he would go in with a cup of coffee to a colleague's office just to have a conversation. And he would look at the lock and realize that was probably the third number in the combination. So he took his own lock in his own filing cabinet apart. And by looking at the mechanics, he figured out a simple mechanical operation in which he could deduce another number, leaving only one number to arrive at by trial and error. So little by little, he had all the combination locks of all of his work colleagues to all of their files. So this did not make him happy, though. Los Alamos had a walk-in safe, and he thought, well, I need access to that walk-in safe. And he was trying to figure out how to get that combination. So there was a janitor at Los Alamos that he knew had served time, and he researched that a bit, and that janitor had served time for safe cracking. So the problem was how to bring up the topic. How do you bring up a topic of, oh, I see you were in prison for safe cracking. Can you help me crack a safe? So eventually he found a way to broach the topic, and the safe cracking janitor knew the manufacturer of that particular safe. And he told Feynman, he says, look, people order these walk-in safes. It comes with a combination from the factory. Every safe made by that company has the same default combination. And that company's default combination is such and such. And Feynman tried it and it worked. So Feynman eventually had access to all of Los Alamos's highly secure files from his colleagues and from the walk-in safe. His books are very accessible. He's a Nobel laureate in physics, but the books are just fascinating. I recommend Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman, and What Do You Care What Other People Think, as very accessible books. And also, I've read some of his papers on physics. They're also very accessible. You don't have to be a physicist to understand the basics. So that's the background for the now nascent field of quantum computing, and what will that bring in terms of discovering new compounds, discovering new natural resources, discovering new ways of computing, new communication networks. It's like we're on the verge of inventing the transistor all over again. It's just a different way of thinking. And the best way of describing quantum physics is, according to this article, like a coin that is both heads and tails at the same time. That's what kind of I'm trying to wrap my mind around, and I'm having a hard time figuring it out. Over.
Well, you're going to have to repeat yourself because Logan came in a little bit late. Good morning, Logan.
Hey there. Good morning. I just wanted to jump in here while I had time. I just opened up my Telegram, and I was like, the cafe cast is running this morning, so I figured I'd jump in here for a minute or two just to kind of say hello. And I'm about to be off to school. I'm running a little late.
Well, we don't want to hold you back, but I was looking forward to having your response to this deep what-if question, which I don't really think we heard a question. What was the question, Jim?
Well, there was a question in there. What if you had a coin that when you flipped it, it was heads and tails?
There'd be a lot of people standing around not knowing what to do.
Can you repeat that one more time, Jim?
What if you had a coin, a quantum coin, in which when you flipped it, it was both heads and tails at the same time and everything in between? So in digital terms, it would be both one and zero and everything in between. We now have computers that are actually running using quantum mechanics. And it's going to open up a whole new area of inventions, exploration of new compounds, exploration of new communication networks, and so forth. It's been described as so phenomenal that we're at the point in inventions that will be as impactful as the invention of the transistor was.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I would probably say that that for a coin, that would be both heads and tails, for there to be a 50-50 chance for what you want it to be, yes and no. You know, like you already know what you want your answer to be, but if it were both, that shows that there's a chance that you may not get what you want.
Or we'd all be winners.
Well, there is, when our kids were little, we tried every trick in the book to try and get them to willingly do chores. And I had a process where, for a while, the kid that was to do help with the dishes, I would flip a coin, and whoever lost would have to help with the dishes. Well, my daughter lost about 4 days in a row, and she complained bitterly about this unfair process. So I made both of our children take out a pencil and paper, and I made them flip a coin 200 times and write down H or T. And once they'd done that, I had them count up the number of H's and the number of T's. And guess what? It was almost 100 of each. So you can get runs of heads, you can get runs of tails, but if the coin is fair and balanced, the more times you flip it, come out either heads or tails. But in quantum mechanics, it could be both. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's very interesting. Yeah. But anyway, I'm packing up my lunch here, and I'm going to jump out of here. So good morning to everybody in the chat here. And hopefully we'll see you maybe tomorrow morning or Friday morning. And today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. You know what, Logan, if we were living in a quantum world, you could be here and at school at the same time.
Correct. And also, you could be eating lunch and not be eating lunch at the same time.
Well, anyway, happy birthday. Have a good day at school.
Happy birthday. Off to school with you.
All righty. Everybody have a great day. From Logan N4 LLC. We'll see y'all later.
From our youth co-host in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks for showing up.
Happy birthday from South Africa.
Thank you, Daniel.
Happy birthday. Have a nice one.
So with this new technology coming, does that mean we'll be able to do things like you see on Star Trek? We'll be teleporting. Maybe we could teleport through our microphones and radios to visit one another, or
I don't know. I mean, this is so mind blowing. I'm having a hard time figuring out the possibilities. Let me go back to the conclusion of this article if I can find my browser.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of what we were talking about yesterday with the watch thing, the Apple Watch. You know, we saw them in cartoons years ago growing up. And now we talk about this new stuff like, well, it's really impossible, but is it really? What will we be seeing in 25 years?
Quantum bits or qubits are units of data that differ fundamentally from the bits in today's electronics, which are basically zeros or ones. Often atoms, electrons or photons, they can exist as zeros and ones at the same time or in any position between. The flexibility that allows them to process information in new ways. So what will that portend? I don't know. Qubits are finicky and have the propensity to stop functioning at the slightest disturbance, such as a minor change in temperature. But companies, including IBM, Google, Honeywell, and IonQ,
are making progress harnessing qubits for early stage computers, some of which users can access online. IBM now has about 20 quantum computers hooked up to the cloud and is offering free access to about half of them so researchers and the general public can experiment. Now that's interesting. And that offering free access is actually a link. And that took me to an IBM site, and I'm going to copy that link in the chat. So it's just another thing we have to explore and figure out what it means.
Well, obviously, speed would be one benefit. With the more speed we get, the more heat is generated, and that's always a problem with the electronic components. So maybe with this, it can run cooler, therefore much faster. Would that be the main goal?
Yes. On the IBM website, it says IBM's quantum development roadmap to deliver 100x speed up in 2021. And there is seed money, University of Chicago. Actually, Chicago is a center of development in this technology. And there are companies springing up regularly with seed money in the School of Business at the University of Chicago to form companies to develop new applications for this technology.
Well, it would seem to me that this would be exactly what they want for AI to take off. AI is going to be a big part of our future, which scares a lot of people.
And reading now from the IBM website, under the heading Science, they say we're unpacking and improving the fundamental building blocks of quantum computing, from quantum circuits to the development of quantum programs and algorithms. And thus, under software, they say IBM quantum simulators and quantum devices can be easily accessed on the IBM cloud at the level of pulses, circuits, and algorithms. So,
okay, Andre, let's hear from you. What do you think about all this?
That's what I was going to say, Andre.
AI is going to rise up and kill all of us. I'm not a big fan of quantum computing yet, because as any new computing method, it's in an infancy. So if it's still an infant, I don't care about it.
But right here it says that you can code quantum algorithms in Python.
Okay, still, it's still in its infancy. It's not like you're going to run some operating system on it. It's just a frozen piece of metal that can either be one and zero at the same time. That's the only thing that they can do on it. I mean,
and what's the use of that?
It's really easy to crack encryption algorithms.
Well, it's all over my head. We all want better, faster, and especially internet speeds would be nice. I mean, I'm okay with what I've got, but it could be a lot better.
Well, anyway, that's what puzzled me this morning.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing and for leading us down the destructive path of AI and supercomputing.
But I do recommend those books that are in the Wikipedia article on Feynman, because they are really funny, and you will immediately get the sense that this man was indeed brilliant, and he wrote these books in a very funny way. I mean, they're just wonderful reads.
He sounds like he would have been a prankster like yourself.
Yep, indeed. After I'd read, he certainly was. Absolutely, he was. And I had, after reading a couple of his books, he was teaching at a college in California at the time I was reading his books. And I thought, you know, if I'm ever in California, I'm going to call up this. He seems so accessible. I had made a mental note that I really wanted to go have a cup of coffee or a beer with this guy. Not that he would have the time to do that, but it seemed like he might have the time to do that. And I had put him on a list of people that I wanted to actually meet. And unfortunately, not long after that, he died of cancer. So that opportunity for me to have a beer or coffee with Richard Feynman never materialized. But oh my, the books are so funny because he indeed was a prankster.
Well, if you and your vast friend circle from being a professor and everything run across someone that you think would be fascinating as a guest, feel free to invite them, bring them in, and do a little interview, and we'll spice things up. We need to get some more interviews going here. In fact, I was thinking for our first video live stream thing, we should get a hold of Ray. Ray is expressing interest. He's the one that put together the ZMR channels, and he has his own business. He kind of quit his job as a truck driver, and now he's making antenna mounts for vehicles and trucks for the ham community or CB community. He does this in his garage or some kind of a building on site, manufactures those things. And I guess it's a pretty neat deal. So I said, you could use your iPhone and show us around and talk about your stuff. And we can use this to help others promote what they're doing.
Sounds like a great idea.
I'll get in touch with him, and we'll see here after today's podcast. I guess we're going to do our first streaming test here. So I got the sun coming in the window. Hopefully I'll have a better lighting situation than I did the other day. We'll see how that goes, but Andre's going to take charge of that. So anyway, thanks everybody for joining us this morning on today's Radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast. Again, I invite you to come join us in our live audience by just going to my call sign, k5dcc.com, and that'll take you right into our cafe chat. All you have to do then is click on the join button at the top to get into our studio here and listen in, participate, and maybe have a word of insight or wisdom or question. We'd love to have you. But we'll say 73 for now. Have a good day. Stay radioactive.
73.
Au revoir. Au revoir, 73 and 88 from Durban, South Africa. Bye-bye.
73. Have a good day, y'all.
Just think, you'll all get a chance to say 73 if you all show up.
Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com.
Hello, Cafeers. Denny J here in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas, out in the country, 25 miles from any large city. Out here in the country, we struggle to get good internet. Maybe you have the same problem. If you live in a rural area, you don't have many options. It's either satellite or DSL or cellular. And believe me, we've tried them all. Just recently, I was more than happy to pay the penalty to get out of our satellite service. Latency was horrible, and for amateur radio communications, the delays were up to 5 seconds, and you probably experienced what that's like. Our DSL service was also very unreliable. We rarely got the speeds that we were promised, and it kept dropping out. But now I think I found a service that we're going to love. It's called Visible.com. It's a company that's owned by Verizon and kind of a pared back service, but works beautifully for my situation here out in the country on 15 acres. Visible.com offers only one plan. It's unlimited everything. Unlimited calls, text, and internet at slightly slower speeds than their top drawer plan at Verizon. But it does use the Verizon network. Go to Visible.com and use my referral code 3NOVEMBER37NOVEMBERTANGO. Also, to get your $40 a month bill reduced to $25, you need to be part of a party pay group. You can join me in our Digicom Cafe party. You will find the link to these things down in the show notes here, along with links to our Digicom Cafe community portal, which is a Facebook alternative. Also, our Telegram community, where we have text and voice chat, and also our live cafe cast here in the Digicom Cafe. So get your line at visible.com. And again, use my referral code and join our party to get that bill down to $25 a month.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Networks amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.